Content of today's episode does not substitute medical advice. If you have any concerns, please reach out to a medical professional or your local mental health service. Welcome to Mind and Soul Matters. I met Hero just over a year ago at a workshop on mental health and spirituality. This 16-year-old listened intently during the workshop without saying much. Just before we were about to wrap up, she eloquently and concisely shared her personal experience with mental health challenges in about three sentences. In those few sentences, she summed up the biopsychosocial spiritual model of therapy. What does Hero's story teach us about how we can incorporate the various aspects of this model to overcome mental health challenges which are globally on the increase? And what lessons can we take away from this insightful youth's experience to help ourselves and other young people struggling with mental illness? Welcome to Mind and Soul Matters, Hero. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with your personal experience of mental health. Tell us your story.
Probably my journey with mental health started a lot through primary school. I was in a reasonably isolated community, so it was pretty lonely. And being in a very small school, I went to a very small hippie school. You only had a very small amount of people. There was probably only like 25 most, and it kept getting smaller and smaller. And that's like all you got. And I experienced a lot of trouble with fitting in to that space, especially going into high school. Like there were little bits in primary school, but when everyone starts to get to the age where they're exploring like drinking and a lot of adult activities, and you're there going like, what are you doing? I experienced a lot of like pushback from all of them and became very isolated from my class and then from my community. And I became very depressed. Faith really helped me through that time where through reflection, noticed it strongly. If I had been in those situations and I didn't have that like trust in the course of life and in God, that I would have been like a much worse off. And through that whole thing, like you kind of had a place to go back to, which was really wonderful. And around that time, my mum was investigating it, but I also got diagnosed with ADHD.
So you had depression and ADHD to deal with. And what did depression look like for you?
Well, I think it was urged by the ADHD, like a lot of that confusion, but it looked like the usual like apathy, and everything was a really big effort, and you just felt really lonely and just like cut off from everything, and no one was like really reaching out. There's a lot of the like, oh, we prefer not to hang out with you because you're bringing the vibes down.
Right.
But yeah, it was a lot of just feeling like everything was too much and kind of giving into that. And everything was just a really big effort. Mm-hmm. And that was made even harder by that really negative environment. And then the struggles of going through school with ADHD can be really challenging. It feels very overwhelming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, through being diagnosed with those two things, mm-hmm. it kind of was an opportunity to go more into depth about like the whys and the hows, which is kind of probably where I began to become interested in psychology, really, mm-hmm. is figuring out. So you go on medication, but like trying to approach it in a holistic way, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and figuring out like, okay, so you're on medication and then therapy, which didn't work very well for me. Mm-hmm. Finding ways to become more engaged in mindfulness and reflection, and dance really helped.
So finding the things that worked for you.
Finding those things in a holistic way. Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that your faith was one of the things that helped you through that. Yeah. In what way was your faith helpful?
Obviously, it's really hard to be positive when you have depression, but it really helped to have that long term, like looking at those around me, I see a lot of desperation and kind of giving up. Everyone's like, I don't want to have kids because we're all going to die in 10 years. Mm. That kind of thing. Or like, what's the point of existence? Is it even though I knew like I'm struggling now and it's because I'm isolated and don't have access to a lot of support in my social setting and those kind of things. I always knew like, but there is a greater purpose to life. I know that this will pass and that I have trust in the course of my life and that it will get better. And it was very comforting. There's a lot of comfort in knowing that. Mm-hmm. I remember that I declared at 15 and I was talking to my local spiritual assembly. One of the things that I said was that even if there isn't a God, it's still better to live a life in comfort of that trust than to live a life in desperation, even if it's not real.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are not familiar with that, this concept is that you were born into a Baha'i family, but in the Baha'i faith, when you turn 15, you choose for yourself. It's not an automatic that you become a Baha'i just because your parents are Baha'is. At the age of 15, you chose for yourself to follow this path. And it's interesting that you say that your faith gave you a sense of hope. Sometimes, for some people, religion can sometimes give them a sense of guilt. And by that, what I mean is that they feel that if they were spiritual enough or if they prayed enough, then they wouldn't struggle with mental health challenges. But it's interesting because for you, it had a different angle. Can you share if any of that came into play or why you think that didn't come into play for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel that obviously there's always a bit of a struggle with that, but I'm not sure where it came from, but like growing up like through children's classes and very open parents who were always willing to have really big conversations, I was always in a lot of discussion with them about where I was and how I was feeling. And like I was obviously someone who was like, I'm never going to be mentally ill. That's for like people who were disconnected. Like I definitely had a sense that because I was religious, I wouldn't have that or like I was too happy to have that.
You'd be protected from it.
Yeah, that I'd be protected from it. But I guess that like going through that, I was given enough trust and space in a really positive way that I didn't view it as a terrible thing, but more like a test or a difficulty that you were able to overcome or would help you grow. Mm. So it wasn't like a, like, why is this happening to me? I meant like, this shouldn't be happening to me. It's just like, it was an opportunity to investigate more. And yeah, like I remember in that time, like, I definitely did get more involved in the activities around me. Like I was already part of junior youth program and those concepts really helped. But then like traveling to other communities and seeing those activities, yeah, it was just a lot more hopeful. I never really saw it as a bad thing, more of just like, it was like a tool that I could use for what I had instead of a sadness that it hadn't stopped it in the first place, because it's a thing that happens.
Yeah, yeah, happens to anyone. Mental health challenges, there's no magic protection. It can happen whether someone has huge faith in God or some other spiritual belief or not. It can impact all of us. And it's interesting that you say your faith was, it gave you hope, but also it gave you tools in terms of ways to serve your community through the Junior Youth Empowerment Program, which again, if people are not familiar with that, we actually have an episode on Mind and Soul Matters, which goes through what the Junior Youth Empowerment Program, Spiritual Empowerment Program is. But these are ways that you could use as a way of service to others or contributing to your community. And this is in line with what the scientific research shows now, is that when we focus on others rather than self, it can help us overcome some of the mental health challenges. And it sounds like that's what you did. You did mention that therapy didn't work. I want to explore that a little bit more. Can you share what the therapy was and what were the challenges there for you?
I've loved the why and the how of things. I love to know exactly why I'm doing a thing. Like if I was feeling, when I'm feeling depressed, like I'll be like, okay, I'm feeling depressed because I'm in this setting and because of this external impulse and because of this happened and this is how I can fix it, done. And I didn't really feel everything. And so when I went to therapy, I'd pretty much just tell my therapist what I'd done to help myself and how I'd fixed it. And I wasn't actually letting myself like process and properly express what I was experiencing, which is obviously the purpose of therapy. And therapy doesn't work for everyone in that way. There's lots of different kinds, but like it's good to talk about things, but that form definitely didn't help me in that time. Like I've gone back to therapy since and it was more beneficial as I let myself like break those things down and the cause for those things and like a need to control everything in a different setting and slowly let yourself trust more in not knowing everything. Has definitely helped to relax out of that constant like stress and anxiety that a lot of people feel all the time, and knowing that like sometimes you don't have the answer and sometimes things don't go how you think they should or how the order of things are meant to be. And it's been a good relief.
Well, that's wonderful that you didn't give up on therapy, because it didn't work for you initially, but then you went back. And did you go back to the same therapist?
No, I went somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that I am such a big believer in, is that therapy doesn't always work for everyone, and it's about trying different therapists and different therapies. And then you were saying that you did go down the path of medication as well. Can you share a bit more about that, how that came about?
I was looking into ADHD, and I actually didn't go to get diagnosed with depression. I went for ADHD, and you like fill out a bunch of forms and everything, and one of them is just a general mental health check. And it came out like, oh, so you're really depressed? We're going to check that first. And it was like a really high level. So they were like, so we're going to put you on this medication. It was very good. Like you like slowly go onto it. And then a lot of people experienced that it can have some funny effects, including like where it was numbing before, it can kind of go in the other direction as well. But it definitely did help to bring a little bit more life back into that. And once that I was a certain point, I started taking ADHD medication, which was really helpful. I went through a bunch, but it really helped to regulate those emotions, which is often really strongly misdiagnosed. If you have ADHD, you can get diagnosed with depression because of emotional dysregulation. Where like one minute you're feeling happy and then suddenly you're really depressed. You're like, what just happened? Whoa. And it really helped in that way. And that's continued to probably help with my mental health, where it's like you have more control over what's happening. You don't feel as all over the place. And it's just a lot of a smoother ride.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But in harmony with other things. Like if you're just taking medication or just going to therapy, I don't think it would have been as helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, that fits in with what the research says, that when there's a diagnosable mental health condition, what is best is having the combination of these different things. And how you've explained this beautifully in terms of how the spiritual, the emotional, psychological, and medical have all come together to help you work through some of these challenges. Was there anything else along the way that you felt has helped you overcome the challenges?
Mm-hmm. As we know, people are interconnected beings, and we need connection. Even if you're an introvert, you need connection to have positive mental health. And so I moved communities to a really rich spiritually and interconnected and community-filled space. And it's been really positive in having a constant flow of positive input from everyone. Like you go to school, I also moved schools, which was really great. So moving to a like positive social circle and also a positive spiritual circle, and like you go to school with lovely people and you come home and then you're in activities and then you're reflecting with those people. It meant that like everything else just kind of gets elevated. Like everything just became a lot smoother. Obviously, a world where everything is so disconnected, it's like really shows why everyone is feeling a lot worse these days.
Mm, absolutely. The importance of social connection, it's vital. Yeah. What have been some of the things that you've learnt along the way?
Well, there's like the obvious things like be kind to yourself and make space for not always being where you should be. It's like making space for when it doesn't go so well, or you tried something and it didn't work out. And then like the therapy not working is that then you find a different way of figuring those things out.
Not giving up.
Yeah. Or like letting yourself not always be pushing forwards,
mm-hmm.
letting yourself just sit with it sometimes. I could definitely just let myself, when I was depressed, just kind of sit with that for a while without just going like, oh, why are you depressed? Just going like, oh, like, why are you depressed and how can we help that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is like a lot of space and calm and time and reflection, and obviously like the psychological side, looking more into those concepts and learning about practical applications in those ways.
Wow, that's so insightful for someone as young as you. How do you think you came to all of that?
Lots of discussion. Like, I think from a young age, like having always like learning quotes and prayers and reflecting on them helped to develop my literary abilities, but also helped to always question the why and look into the deeper meanings of things. And then continuing when you go into junior, you're constantly getting applications like to look for confirmations, to find hope in that darkness, to look at people in a positive light, to persevere, all those things, find better habits. And then discussing with my family and my friends, lots of deep discussions, is you're constantly encouraged to aim for a high level instead of just having the apathy of like, oh, you're a teenager, you're meant to feel bad, you're meant to struggle, is like not letting that be what it's meant to be and pushing back against those expectations and going like, maybe I'm this age, but I can still look further and find further means of helping myself instead of just giving into the suckiness.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. I do know a little bit about the Junior Youth Spiritual Empowerment, but you've really sold it to me. And every young person, every adolescent teenager goes through these sort of challenges of sometimes having the social isolation or difficulties at school. There could be a whole range of things, and that is one of those tools that really is quite empowering for young people, as the name indicates, spiritual empowerment.
I really saw that with the junior youth that I did the whole course with. I definitely saw a lot of change in them as people who hadn't grown up in Baha'i families.
And where are you now, Hero? What's the plans for where you are now, what the future looks like?
Yeah, so I just finished year 11 and this year has been honestly amazing. Yeah, I've been in a lovely community, been at a very academically challenging school in which I did a project last year on mental health and spirituality, looking at how, like, reflecting on all those learnings over the past few years and observations of my peers of how has religious disaffiliation impacted the increase in mental health issues.
Oh, fascinating. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, because I was really seeing that, obviously, not in every religion, but especially in Christianity, which is a widely spread religion, has been declining at the same time mental health has been declining. And I was like, is there a correlation between that as well as like the hopelessness amongst our generation? So I looked into that a lot. I looked at my own friends, I'd asked them, and lots of other areas of expertise and other people who had looked into it. And there definitely was a correlation. Mm-hmm. And looking at the positive impacts of religion for mental health and what the implications of those being taken away were. Mm-hmm. And especially like the, like, religions really encourage social ability, or like being connected. And when that was taken away, everything's become very fragmented in the world. And that, like, lack of connection and purpose has been really bad for mental health. There are some areas of religion which have been bad for mental health, which is like when the purity of religion has kind of been muddied and taken away. There are many people that we probably all know who have had traumatic experiences with religion. But on the whole, like, religion is a really strong point of mental health growth, and the lack of that was not good. And so that was a large part of it. But at the end, I was looking at how we could help bring back that rift that had been created. And I was looking at, there are already some implementations that are being used in like the medical industry to bring back religion in different ways, including like ideals of like how to treat patients. As we see in the community building efforts of our communities, how we can bring that to the whole of the world to help mental health, to bring that connection and that community and that discussion and asking people how they're feeling and their opinions helps so much. Yeah.
Wow, wonderful. What a wonderful project. And there's so many thoughts that are going through my mind as you're speaking about this, because it's such a huge topic. But you talked about, one of the aspects you talked about is that religion brings a space of connection, that social connection, which is so critical for our mental health and well-being. And one of my observations, and this isn't based on any special research that I've done, but people have taken sporting clubs as a substitute for religious organization, and that's a place where it gives them a place of belonging and connection. But it was really interesting for me because you said belonging, connection, but also a sense of purpose and meaning. Yeah. And I think, you know, I love sport and I'm part of some, you know, organizations and clubs, and so are my children. And I think it is wonderful, but I think one of the things that religion can provide in addition to that connection is that purpose and meaning, which you touched on, which also has been shown to be a significant factor in our mental health and well-being. We need to have a sense of purpose and meaning.
Yeah, through religion and through the teachings and through all that guidance constantly, you have a sense of purpose. And part of my project, I did like some surveys, and through looking at responses, I was able to see that those who weren't connected to their communities and who weren't connected to religion, or were but weren't really, you know, like they are, but their parents are, so they're not really, that they especially were feeling, had a history of mental health problems, were feeling more hopeless and isolated, had not as much hope in the world. And on the opposite side, that those who did have a strong impulsive community and connection and religion had maybe some struggle with mental health, as we said, everyone can.
Absolutely.
But that especially they had a lot more of a hopeful outlook and had a lot more positivity and strength in who they were and in the world.
And what does the future look like for Hero?
Well, I still have year 12, obviously, to complete, but after that, I'll probably take off a year for a year of service. Well, as for people who don't know, it would be traveling to another community or my own community and serving full time for a year in many ways. But after that, I'm not sure where I'll go yet, but I'm going to study visual art because I love the arts and I think they're a wonderful expression that also helps mental health. Is like a great way to gain perspective on how you're feeling even and see things from other perspectives, from other people and yourself. And I'm also going to study psychology and then neuropsychology, which came into an interest for me through investigation of my own journey with mental health, but also with ADHD and seeing that there's not as much research in that area. So like that would be a long journey. Obviously, I think it's about 10 years. But after that, I would use those findings to apply them to my community. Like I think somewhere in the writings, it was saying you don't, to be able to serve, you don't have to do something that's hard for you. You can choose something that you love to help those around you. And obviously have a love of the why and the how, which is like what you do through neuropsychology. So I'd be able to help young people like myself struggling through this time of confusion and like lack of purpose, and especially with neurodivergencies, to have a lot of strength from that young age, like through the concept of like a tree that when it's young, it's still malleable, to be able to give them those supports so that they can grow tall and straight.
Wow, fantastic. I'm sure you will be fabulous at all of that. And I wish you all the best. And thank you so much, Hero, for coming along and speaking so openly and frankly and sharing your experience. We know one of the best ways for us to remove stigma around mental illness is for people who have experienced it to talk more candidly about their lived experience. So thank you so much for coming along and talking to us.
Thank you. It's been lovely.
Thank you also to you, our listeners. You can continue to support us by sharing an episode with a friend and following Mind and Soul Matters on your preferred podcast app and on social media, where you can also keep up to date with our upcoming live forums. Look out for our next forum, where you can join our live streaming channel from anywhere in the world or join us in person in Perth, Western Australia. A gentle reminder that the content of today's episode does not substitute medical advice. If you have any concerns, please reach out to a medical professional or your local mental health service. For listeners in Australia, you can also call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Look forward to your company next time on Mind and Soul Matters.